Tonight we'll have a children's meeting, and we'll have a warning to the ones that aren't ready to meet God, and I trust an encouragement for those that are ready, all combined in one message. Entitled my message tonight, The Touch of the Master's Hand. Turn with me to Psalm 136, verse 3 to 11. 136, verse 3 to 11. The psalmist David, he had a lot of praise for the Lord. As he was out herding his sheep, he was out with nature, and his psalms just penetrate of his praise and adoration to a holy God. That was his heartbeat, you know. And we'll just read a few of those verses to get us in that same spirit. Verse 3. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great light, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah tonight, friends, for the word of God. As David realized, and he went back to creation when he was writing these words, you know, God made all these things, and it is in a six-day creation. Nothing else tonight, dear people. We have to keep pounding this into our own conservative people, because they're getting signals from the world, I believe. This is a six-day creation. 24-hour period, you know, that's how it is. And David here, he went back. Look at the God that did all this. You know, as he was sitting out under the stars at night, and he looked at this creation, he just feels filled with praise and honor at something like that. And the mighty firmament that God made. And when God then said that this earth that we're on is only as a footstool for him. Yeah, isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? This is just like a footstool for him. That's the greatness of our God tonight. And that should bring us to awe and to stop and thank the Lord, first for even giving us sight to enjoy the different scenes, you know. Today, as we were traveling down, yesterday and today, as we were traveling down, we saw some of the beauty of creation. There was still enough color in the trees. At home, they're pretty well, not all gone yet, but the vivid colors are gone. And I had to think how beautiful to be able to have eyes to see this, because our God could have said, let's get it over for those people down there, and we'll just, that one color in place, that's it for them. That's all they deserve, hardly that. But no, he enjoys it, and we should too. But let's give him the praise for it. You know, that's the secret. Yes, to think that he does all these things for us to enjoy. And each season has a beauty. You can go to and travel the world, and each country has its own beauty. Each country has its own birds. Each country has its own animals that are unique and beautiful. And God is interested to have us enjoy that. That's our God for you. Yet, and as we see these things, and we also see it is marred by sin, but through all of the sin of mankind, it still is surprisingly beautiful, you know. Yesterday, we saw trees absolutely red, just fire red, and I said, my, oh my. And then other colors, beautiful. There's no paintbrush that can do it. There are a lot of people that are good at painting. There are a lot of people that are good at artists and making beautiful scenes. I'm only good at modern art. You have to write underneath what it is. But, you know, that's beautiful. But there's still nothing like the real thing, you know. You can go out west and see the mountains. There's nothing like seeing it in person. And that's what... That's a marvel of the handiwork of God. As well said in Romans 1:20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Remember tonight, as you go out there, and if you're a child of God tonight, and then you can see that God made it, and you give God the honor and the glory for it. But the world does not do that. They want to leave God out of the picture. But they are without excuse. When they look at the trees, when they look at God's creation many, many different ways, when they see a storm coming in its power, and a tornado, whatever it may be, they are without excuse. The scripture says, to realize that there is an almighty God that they'll have to reckon with someday. But that doesn't leave us off the hook that we're not mission-minded. We're called to present the gospel and live it from day to day. Yeah, in this fall season, man, the ungodly man, takes note of the gorgeous array of color displayed among the trees and flowers and so forth. A maple tree with a yellow tinge, you know, and the leaves, you know, one part is more red, and then it fades out into yellow, and on and on. And this, tonight, I don't worship the tree, but I do turn to the Creator. And yes, as sinful as the world is, it is still beautiful. Imagine how it was in the Garden of Eden. No rotten tree, and no leaf that was spotted, and no apple tree that had to be sprayed, or nothing else. It was perfect. It was perfect. Yes, it was. Still proof that our Creator is alive, always will be, and is also coming again. Yes, indeed. People travel many miles to view such beauty because some of these colors you don't see in some other countries. And I just heard of a couple last year that flew over from Europe to Maine, and they wanted to look at this fall color display, because you can get it on pictures and see it, that this is really nice. And they came over, and every day was foggy. They couldn't see it. They went right, they jumped in the plane and went back again. That was quite a disappointment, a lot of money, but they wanted to see the beauty. And hopefully they said it was God's creation. I don't know, but that's where it boils down to. Scientists have discovered what makes the change in the leaf. At home, oftentimes you hear that it is frost that makes the change of a leaf, or cool weather. But frost actually damages the leaves, and they turn brown and die, and they fall to the ground. Frost does not produce a color in the leaves, according to scientists, and I'm not a good scientist, so I go what others tell me. But what brings the color out is shorter daylight hours. Would it surprise you that all those colors in a leaf were there from start to finish? They were there all summer. And this is where the science lesson comes in. And they were there all summer long. And the reason we didn't see it, because there was a film over top, which is called chlorophyllum. It is a Greek word for chloros, meaning green, and phylon, meaning leaf. And it needs a lot of sunshine to manufacture chlorophyll in leaves. Nitrogen and magnesium are the two basic chemicals needed for bright green colors. And so as fall approaches, there is less daylight hours, there's less sunshine, there's more cloudy days in our area anyway. And then there's amazing things that happens. And God has designed it this way. Remember, God is in the picture here. There's a signal sent from, let's just use a leaf here. There's a signal sent from the nitrogen coming up. And there's a thing that blocks the approach for the nitrogen and the magnesium coming into the leaves. At each end of the leaf, it thickens up there, and it shuts it off. There's a signal sent to the stem of the leaf, and a thick layer of cork, that's what it calls, cork cells forms at the base of the leaf. And this stops the flow of what is needed to keep the leaf green. We may call it as a trap door has been shut, and the green color fades, and in a very short time it's gone. It can be gone in a week's time at around home. Bang, from green to whatever majestic color there might be. And then a color is portrayed that is extremely beautiful. It is so beautiful that the world takes note of. And then I ask the question tonight, what leaf would you like to be? You know. It is obvious some have been severely tarnished by the curse of this world. And I'll get a few you young people, let's see, these two boys over here, and we have to be politically correct. So we need a few young girls here to pick out what might be a beautiful leaf. And these have been pressed. So would you come up here? In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You two, come up here, and let's see a few girls. One down there, another one. You two, one with the yellow dress there. Are you afraid of me? Bring the doll along. That's okay. I'm not afraid of them either. But so I need your advice of what. Just stay, okay, whatever. Right, yellow island, come, Missy, come on down here, and we'll get this very practical. What leaves would you think would be the nicest to have of these four? Let's be unified in, you know, that helps so much nowadays. You like this one? Both of them? Okay. You like those two? Better than these? Really?
I like
these. Little one? Yeah, that's good. What about, you don't like this one? Really? What about you? You don't like it either? You don't want green tractors either, I presume. Yeah? Red is nice, I realize. You made a wise choice. Yeah, thank you. I agree with you. You're maybe seated. Yes, that is good. I was hoping I wouldn't be the only one making these decisions. But, rightly so. Where are we at here? But we have to realize tonight that some leaves stay green. But they have fallen. They have fallen. When do leaves fall? Usually in the fall, time of year, harvest in the fall. And what follows when the leaves come down? For sure around home. And you get a little taste of it down here too, I presume, and that is winter. Yeah. Winter falls. Winter follows. So, tonight we could say, we're young. We may say there is time. We may say this tonight, we have many years ahead of us. We may go on and on with what we say, life is good. We're going to keep on just the way we've been going for years, and we're looking ahead. It may be marriage, it may be other things, you know, you're looking ahead. At home, there's a 14-year-old that died the other year with aneurysm, gone like that. Was in school, it's gone. We have an 18-year-old girl in our community that has cancer. She's going through chemo, and she's sick, so sick from day to day, a very rare type of cancer. Wouldn't have caught on until she broke a bone. 18 years old. The same cancer that Terry Fox had. I don't know if you know Terry Fox is a famous man for walking across Canada up in our area. With one leg, but he succumbed to it then later on. You know, these things come, and it reminds us that winter is coming. There's no getting around it. No getting around it. But when we know the greatness of our God tonight, and we know the season we're in, do we and can we say, like the psalmist did in 139, verses 1 to 18. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 18. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest mine down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And I appreciate what the brother had in the devotions there, you know. Set a watch there, truly. David is saying, the Lord knows all of that. He does. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from the Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Tremendous words, again from David, when he recognized who God was, and he recognized who he was. And tonight all of us have to do that in our own personal lives too. We have to recognize who I am before a holy and a righteous God. Tonight we are nothing in the sight of a God. I don't care how proud you think you are, or what money you have, a title to your name. We're nothing. But God wants to make something out of us that we could never do ourselves, and make us beautiful and usable in the sight of God. Praise the Lord tonight for that. The Lord knows us. He's the one that gave us a soul before we had a name. And then the question is raised, where can I go? Where can I go? Fall is here, as it were. There's no height, there's no depth able to hide me from the presence of God. The most darkest night is like the brightest day, the scripture says here, with God. And once we realize this, that there is no running away from God, as the scripture so profoundly says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, every person has to realize that. And we can come in our Mennonite circles and conservative circles, whatever you want to name it nowadays, and we can have our own schools, and all of these things are very good. I promote them. But we can grow up in our circles and we can say the right language and never have a change in color. That's right. We have to be changed within. God wants to make something beautiful on the outside too then. And he will do it. He will do it. Yeah. As a sinner, we can run a life, a whole lifetime. But remember, fall is coming. And when you drop, you will drop with the color that is on you. If you haven't changed from the, if your color hasn't been changed and you're still green, that's the color that you will drop. And that's the color that you will stay. There's no getting away from that. The scripture says, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. And like Jeremiah wrote of old in Jeremiah 9:20, he says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Are we saved tonight? And that means we are about to drop, you know, once summer is ended. Yes, and that makes all the difference how we drop. All the harvesting is done in the natural. Winter is at the door, whether we're ready or not tonight. We all love those summer evenings. I know up in our area, it seems they're so short. You know, this year was a little longer than some years. September was like the middle of August, you know, for us. You flop on the grass and just look up at the starry sky, and beautiful summer day, summer evening. You just think, oh, wish I could keep them because something else is coming. Yeah. Fall is coming. Winter's coming after that. How soon the daylight hours get shorter and shorter. You know, as youth arises to accountability, they would love to erase the thought that as soon as man is born, he's also prone to die. Yeah. As soon as we're given breath, we're on a journey that is unstoppable until death or the rapture for the saints. That's how it is. Yeah. But that doesn't leave us without hope. Praise God. And I believe in the innocency of children. Yes, I do. But there's a time when a child knows it's right or wrong. There's a time when the Spirit comes and convicts a person and says, oh, no, you know, I'm not right with God. I'm not ready to meet him. You know. Yes, that's so true. Some trees that are close to streetlights have their sensitivity, have their sensitive system fooled. There's still a light in the fall days, and so if some of these trees have this light shining on them, their leaves stay on longer than normal. The stem has not been blocked from the nutrients of the world, if I may say that tonight, and so they keep the green colors, but alas, you know, the first snow comes, and with it the branches and everything come on down to the ground, and it's over. 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You may think that your artificial light will keep you green. And so I ask the question, you know, we can stay green. We can be all messed up from the world, you know, whatever else, you know. We can get our artificial light. We can get our signals coming in from whatever. You can get. You can go online nowadays and you can hear a pastor that is very, very influential, but doctrinally not right. He may keep you green a little longer, you know. The church is under tremendous attack tonight in North America, because we're getting away from the pure doctrine of the Word of God and listening to man. Friends, we have to get back to the Word of God. We have to live the Word. Maybe I'll say it another time this week, if not. Much of Christianity today is to get saved, and I believe that. Unless you're born again tonight, you'll never make it to heaven. But in order to be born again, you also have to walk day by day after a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where the challenge comes. We all like to be saved. We all like to have heaven. But a lot of these people say, well, you know, when were you saved? Oh, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Okay, I'm not interested so much in when. How are you living tonight? You know, yeah, that's really what matters. But you have to be saved to start off, absolutely. But discipleship is not mentioned much anymore. Got off on a rabbit trail here. Anyway, there's a difference in these leaves, you know. There's a leaf here that, yes, started off beautiful, but tarnished, ripped up. Diseases of the world. Would the Lord pick this one up for himself, you know, as calling beautiful? Would he? As one who has garments on that have been made white by the blood of the Lamb, you know. That's what he's looking for tonight. People that have been washed in the blood and kept their garments clean. Wow, beautiful that is. Would you be satisfied by the size of this leaf? You know, we could say, well, this is really big. It's just as big as any others here. That's okay with me. As long as I'm big, as long as I'm seen, as long as I am popular, as it were, as long as I'm in the peer group. Really? Is that what God looks at you tonight? No. You can say, well, I've been a Mennonite my whole life. That may be true. But have you been born again tonight? Has the world been shut off to you? Has their cork been shut off? As you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, has the world been shut off? Or you still think back to each of them and you think, well, yes, we had some good food back there, you know. A lot better than this manna. We had different kinds of clothes, too, back then. Sure, our clothes don't wear out for 40 years. But we weren't in style either, you know. Yeah. That's right. How would that affect the Mennonite church? We would be just the number one complainer because we need we get a lot of signals from the world, whether we want to admit it or not. But tonight, the Lord is looking for people that we have been shut off from the world and have tapped onto the grace of God and live with the infilling of the Holy Spirit from day to day so that he can bring out a color that the world sees as extremely rare and beautiful. That's a witness, friends, tonight. That's a witness that I need more of in my own life, and I trust you to too. That's something we just need. You know, are you satisfied with a religion that works or with a gift of salvation that will produce works that will bring color to the Christian life? A big difference. I can say I'm big tonight, and I can say winter is a long ways off. Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Again, back to the devotions, the froward mouth do I hate. You know, do we have the fear of God tonight? Do we see ourselves as we see these leaves, you know? Do we see ourselves as these leaves? Blotched, marked up, eaten up, whatever, you know. Do we hate what God hates tonight? And if not, then we do not fear God. We don't know how awful we look in the sight of God at times. We just stop and look. This leaf is no problem to throw in the fire, as it were. Where are you? You know, to me, throw it in the fire. Burn it. No problem at all. No use for it. Doesn't look nice. This other eaten one, whatever, moth eaten, no, whatever. Yeah, away with it. Away with it. It may not look like fall, this here leaf, but it speaks of sin and death and hopelessness. It went through life. This is all it had. No beauty. Nothing. Nothing. Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, we can have a lot of people in our circles. They go to tanning saloons, and now the world even says that they're not healthy. But people, I've seen Mennonites sitting, especially ladies, sitting in church. They have this beautiful tan in the middle of winter, and they weren't in Florida. So they must have been, if a hard-working person is out in the sun and gets a tan, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, that's okay. But if we do have to get it just because we want the attention from maybe the opposite side of the aisle or whatever, let's be honest, that comes from artificial light. Artificial light. And why is it for when it isn't even deemed healthy by the public? The size may be wonderful, you know, but at last it fell. Tonight, God is not fooled by artificial light or good religious works, but looks upon us as what we have in Christ Jesus. He looks on us and sees, are we a follower of him? Are we ashamed to be identified with him? Are we ashamed to be separate from the world? And by meaning separate from the world, you don't have to be so odd-looking either, but you'll be different. But you'll have a countenance of joy on your face because of what took place in your life. And it's a joy to be a child of God tonight. The world says it's a burden to dress like you ladies or men, that we would never want to do that. Well, that's all right. They don't have to. But friends, tonight, it's a joy to live like a Christian should. The Bible is clear in the scriptures. Doesn't mean that every style that we have is the only style, but the spirit is there of modesty and all these things throughout the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is. I'm convinced of that. And it shouldn't be a burden. You know, if somebody comes up to you young ladies and say, well, why do you have that thing on your head for? Well, the preacher said I have to do it. Really? Really? You're living under the law. Absolutely. That's the law. But if you can say the word of God says that this is what the word of God says, and this is what I do because I love the word and I love my Savior. That's not the law. That's freedom. Freedom in Christ. We need more of that. Yes. Are we satisfied with these spots and say, well, the whole tree has them, you know. There are more leaves on the tree like that. And, I don't want to be different. I don't want to have a real nice color. I'm the only one on this tree and the others are all green. Really? I don't want to be different looking. I'm satisfied to have that green covering over me all summer long and into the fall. And by the way, Grandpa was like that too, you know. Yeah. We have a lot of things to blame my old Grandpa and Aunt Elsie and whatever else out there, you know. Well, you know, she got angry. She was into this hocus pocus thing, and it's a big deal, you know. Really. I'm not asking about that. God is looking for your life. He's looking at your color. And he can make you beautiful, though you came from the most wretched and awfulest family in the country. That's the power of God tonight. And that thrills me. When we can talk about one who can save a person and get you on a road towards glory. You know, that should be, there's no other thing like that. But you say, well, you know, we can go out and we can make all these excuses, and you like to be covered in green. It may cover your covetousness. It may cover your pride. It may cover your jealousy. It may cover your anger. It may cover your lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. But as long as the root problem has not been taken care of, you're a servant to sin. You're a servant to sin. It has to be stopped in order for the beauty to come out right at the bottom here. And God, you know, sometimes we have these terms of inferiority complex. I can hardly pronounce it. I have this problem, you know, my nose is too big and, you know, I can't keep every hair straight and you know, everybody's laughing. Really? That's sin. God made you like you are, and he called it beautiful, every one of you, every one of you. That's how come he liked variety. That's how come he already had colors in the leaves, and he got it when he made people. Yeah, he got a variety, but he loves everyone the way you are, beautiful. And he wants us to blend together, and then we can have a tree, the church of Jesus Christ, made with the beauty and the color that only he can bring out. That is fantastic, friends. Don't ever say that God doesn't. I know I grew up, and I always thought I had a little bit of a bigger nose, but I finally said, oh, Lord, thank you for it. I can really smell yet, so that's a good start. Not when you have skunks in the area, but you know what I mean? Yeah. God make you beautiful. That doesn't mean you don't work in your character. That doesn't leave you off the hook with that. No, he wants to change your very character. 1 John 3, verses, a few verses here. It says, 1 John 3, verse 23 and 24. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Do we believe in Jesus Christ tonight, that he took my sins to Calvary? Without repentance, there is no remission of sins tonight. And as long as we still enjoy thinking of the fun you could have with sin, a person has not repented. Has not repented. By your colors ye shall be known. In other words, the scripture says, by your fruit ye shall be known. And it doesn't take long for a new color to show. And neither does it take long to become saved by the blood of the Lamb. But a lifetime to stay saved. Yeah. Yeah. That's when we follow after. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new color. He is a new creature. Old things, old colors are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath been made, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yeah. He took on these ugly colors. Yeah. The things that we would say we throw away. Yeah. And God said they have to be thrown away. God said they have to burn. But Jesus Christ stepped in and said, no, no. For those very ones, I'll give my life for. I'll bring out a beauty in them that you'll love in glory throughout all eternity. That was the mission of Christ. Praise God for that tonight. Therefore, if the nutrients are shut off from the world, and he is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have repented and become a child of God, therefore, you are no more green tonight. No. Your talk, your walk is different. There's a color that is in each soul that God would love to display to the rest of creation of who he is. And tonight I ask the fathers and mothers, are you making it easy for those behind by the colors that you portray? Every father and mother. I realize we have some young married families here, the way it looks, you know. A tremendous burden for yous, for me, you know. Don't go at it alone. Include the Lord, and you'll make it through. There is hope tonight, dear people, in a world that is exceedingly wicked. Yes, there is. If you display the color that you're supposed to in your home, he'll take care of the rest. Yeah. He'll give you all the tools that are needed in a world that is becoming increasingly wicked by the moment, it seems. With your elections over here, I say, Lord, is this a one nation or is it divided already? You know, I can't believe it. But not only that, but in our country, just last week, we have marijuana legalized now. Well, you don't need to be a doctor or a psychologist or anything, whatever other beautiful name you can put there. to figure out that we'll have a lot of more problems down the road. You know, you won't be long on that until they need their heroin, their fentanyl, and all these things. And now we have, I don't know how many suicides in our own local region there a year because of drug overdoses. You know, it just feeds one another. And some of these, the blind lead the blind. The scripture talks about that. Again, not my subject. But God wants to use you. God wants to use you and me in one way or another. Maybe it's to clean the church. That's all right. If you do it for the glory of God. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, you think, well, if I can't be doing things that I'm seeing, well, then you're not in the right job, friends. Yeah. God doesn't need you to be a public figure. You don't have to be up here preaching to be used of God tonight. There's work for everybody. And there's no retirement for the child of God. No. It's always something to do. If you're a grandma here tonight in a rocking chair, whatever, you can still pray. Pray for the great need round about us. A tremendous work. Tremendous work. Beautiful work. God is looking for people, you know. He wants to use each one in a small, in one way or another. And remember, in his sight, it's always big if you do it for him. There's no discrimination. No. No. When you do it for him, he'll love it. He will love it. The unlovable becomes lovely, especially so with God. You may not always be loved if you have become a new creature in Christ, but you will have an attraction that the world will always take note of. You'll have an attraction the world would like, but maybe they don't want to get too close, but they'll have to admit it's beautiful. In fact, deep down, they would desire to have that peace that only Jesus Christ can give. And if you have been touched tonight by God, you know that is still the greatest miracle happening today. The greatest miracle throughout the world. It's greater than seeing a leaf turn from green to red. It's when a soul repents and comes to Jesus Christ. Yeah. When a drunkard can say no to alcohol. A lot of them don't need a long program if they really repent. Yeah. When a fella can throw his pack of cigarettes into the container and burn it up and never touch it after. Praise God. With a fella at home that years ago that came to the one church we were at, and he said, just pray for me this week. He had a cigarette addiction. Now you have all the other things yet too. Same thing. But he said, pray for me that I can get rid of it. And he stopped. Cold turkey, as the term goes. Never was back since. You know, that's the power of God tonight. And that's when something ugly becomes beautiful. We can go to a lot of reform places and everything else. A lot of counselors and rob them of their time. And say, won't you cry with me, you know, because I want to get through this mess. But I still like it, but yeah, give me in my own time, I'll stop likely. No. God wants to make beauty something beautiful out of us tonight. Yeah, a color and a power that only comes from God. And tonight he asks the question, are you letting your color shine? You know. Or are you only letting your leaf fade? Isaiah 1:30. It speaks about what the ungodly does. And there it says, for ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And you ever notice, oak leaves don't turn red. They just fade. The Bible is very detailed in many ways, and I marvel at it. I praise God for it. Oak leaves still fade. Isaiah 64:6. It says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, as soon as a leaf drops in the fall, the wind comes along and these leaves blow all over creation, it seems. We have a lot of trees at our place, and you can think you have the lawn clean, and middle of winter, there's still leaves blowing around and piling up, you know, wonder where they come from. They've dropped. But as autumn turns into winter, and we drop with colors that only God can bring out, a beauty that we're called to show forth, and one that fadeth not away, not away. In Thessalonians, it talks about the calling up to meet the Lord. It talks about the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ, and I believe that is what it literally means. It says there's a time coming when the church of Jesus Christ shall be called up to meet him in the air. And 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about the meeting, that in the twinkling of an eye, to meet the Lord in the air. And that is specifically talking to the church of Jesus Christ there. And tonight, what a blessed hope. What a blessed hope for a child of God tonight, because we will drop. I'm not looking for death tonight. I'm looking for the calling up hither. But in the meantime, we may drop. We may drop. We will have colors, all different, but beautiful. We will drop. But the Lord said, according to the word of God, he says, I know where you dropped. You're beautiful. Your body is going to decay if it stays here. But the scripture is very clear tonight that the body shall be resurrected again anew. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But the scripture says that we will be raised. We will be coming out of those graves changed, eternally changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful comfort for the child of God, friends. And tonight, it will be more than a displaying a fall scene on your table with leaves. It'll be more than sometimes in school we press leaves into a book, you know, to make them look beautiful. And of course, this is what some of these did. See how long we could keep them. But soon they crackle and soon they break. And so the leaves went the way of all leaves. But tonight, dear people, God is looking from heaven. He is looking tonight down even. And he's waiting, our blessed Lord is waiting for the call to go. It says God himself knows when he's going to send his son, Jesus Christ. And then the shout will go forth. And then these leaves, as it were, you will look down at all those leaves that have a color, washed in the blood of the Lamb. All those leaves that had, we thought, deteriorated. Parents, whatever, over the years, resurrected to be forever with the Lord. Friends. Does the Lord see a color in you because you let him touch you, and your life is touching others tonight? Is that the case? As he looks down and he sees this here leaf, he sees your names, whatever it may be. And he says, aha. There is the ones that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when my sound goes forth, they will know they can come home. That is the comfort in a world that is increasingly wicked tonight. The blessed hope for the child of God tonight. There's so nothing more exciting than to share with you. Because of your color, the Master Jesus Christ can hardly wait to pick you up. Because he made something beautiful out of your life. And you let him touch you. And it's him that we can beautify through. Not by our own merits, not by our own works. No, we can go through all the schools we want to. We'll never make it. We'll never make it. But if God does the touching, it'll be beautiful, beautiful, extremely beautiful. I'll close with a poem. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two? $2, and who'll make it three?" Going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin, he tightened the loosened strings, and he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $2,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, cried he. And the people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not understand. What changed its worth?" Quick came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with a life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin, a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought. The touch of the Master's hand.